Our call to worship is found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that we have to gather together and to worship you. Lord, open up our hearts and our minds to what you have to teach us through the scriptures and through the music and through all else that you do in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. So good to be back here. So great. As you guys know, we left for Montana last week. Left Thursday. And we went through just a little bit of snow in Rapid City, just a little bit. Roads were great going up there. So we stopped in Miles City, stayed the night there at my parents' house, woke up the next morning with snow on the ground. They're blaming me for bringing snow to them. I said, "We have no snow," when I left. Evidently, there was snow here as well. I got some good pictures. And then on the way back, we thought, well, you know, we went to church on Sunday. Saw a bunch of old friends. Got to visit with them for a while. Stayed in Forsyth for a little bit to see Shauna's mom. Had fun time there. And after church on Sunday, I thought, you know what? We're not going to make it back. We've got too much going on. So we left. You know, Monday's going to be great. It should be fine. The road should be good. We'll be coming back Monday. I was wrong. We got to drive through snow-packed roads, a little bit of ice, a little bit of wet, a little bit of rain, fog. And I let my wife drive while I tried to sleep and woke up in 15 minutes, and it was nice and icy. I said, "Do you want me to drive?" She says, "Yes. If I don't have to drive on this, I won't." So, but it was a good trip, fun. We're so thankful that we got to go to see family for a while. So thankful we got to see some friends, be with them. So thankful to be back here. So thankful. Today's message is entitled "Instructions from God." We're going to look at three verses today, found in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And it says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Nice, sweet, and short passage. Simple words. Instructions. Now, before Paul wrote this in the previous verses, he was talking about how he's telling the people of Thessalonica how to live with one another in peace, how to live with one another prior to this. Then he moves on to a believer's attitude towards God. Now, in this really small, self-explanatory passage, there are three verbs in this. Three verbs. And what is a verb? It is an action. It is an action. It is something that the people need to be doing. We need to be doing these three things. There are two words and a phrase. In the Greek, there are three words. So the first one we're going to look at is in verse 16. Verse 16. And it says, "Rejoice always." Rejoice. The Greek word for rejoice is kahario, which means to be glad. We are to be glad. A statement that Paul makes may seem impossible. May seem impossible to rejoice always. Especially during hard and trying times. How do you rejoice? But here's the thing. It's from God. So it needs to be taken serious. This is not a "I suggest you do this" kind of thing. No, it's a command. to do this. Now, there are a number of different passages in Scripture that tell us to have joy in all situations. Have joy. The first one, Habakkuk 3:17 through 18. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there is to be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk's telling, if all of these things were cut off, no food, no fruit from the trees, the livestock gone, what's he going to do? Rejoice. Rejoice. And when I was thinking about this passage in the back, I'm thinking, we have people around here that grow food, that grow crops. We have those that raise animals for food. So we do everything we can humanly do to make it produce, right? We get the seed, we fertilize the ground, we plant it, we water it. And that's about the extent that we can do. Can we cause these things to grow, to produce anything? We can do things to help the process. What works? What kind of food should I be feeding it? The same with animals. You can have them breed naturally, or you can use AI. Does that always work? No, it's all in God's control. It's all in God's control. He provides. And Habakkuk was saying, if all of this stuff went away, if the trees didn't produce, guess what? I am going to rejoice. I have one thing that cannot be taken away from me. And what is that? That is salvation, which is found through God. Salvation through God. He provides it. He will rejoice in that. Romans 5:13 tells us, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. God fill you with all joy and peace. All joy and peace. It comes from Him. That joy that we have comes from God as believers. Finally, James 1:2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various kinds of trials. Count it joy when you're going through trials. I can read that all day. But to know it, to believe it, and to actually do it, how do we have joy when we're going through trials? We're going through hardships. It's hard. It's hard to have that joy. Again, when we lose our focus on what's really important. When we're believers in Christ, did God say it's going to be peaches and cream and no hard times? No, He said you're going to go through suffering. When you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to go through suffering. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Paul was also aware of the negative human emotions, such as grief, sadness, and distress. It's going to happen. Good, godly men grieved in the Bible. They grieved. Jesus Himself grieved. However, Paul knows that the believer needs to transcend their sadness with continual focus on the joy that a believer has. Yes, we can be sad. We can be heartbroken. But then we look at God, the picture from God. What is He doing? And it's sometimes we can't see what He's doing at the moment. Sometimes we never will until we go be with Him. See, I use this to work this out. Paul states in 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many riches, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. as sorrow, yet always rejoicing. Again, he puts two and two together, rejoicing. And it doesn't add up sometimes in my human thought process. In my worldly view, it doesn't add up. If you're thinking like the world, it doesn't make sense. But we can still be sorrowful and have joy because of the hope in Christ Jesus. Having this joy that is commanded to have is possible to the believers because it is biblical joy. We are to have biblical joy. This joy is not a superficial emotional response to a positive circumstance. Some will have joy because something great has been done for them in a secular viewpoint. Somebody did something nice for somebody, so they get this emotional joy saying, "Yes, thank you." After a while, does that joy stay? No. It goes away. It goes away. Joy that a Christian has comes from God. We have the joy that comes from God, part of the fruit of the Spirit, because of the hope that is found in Christ Jesus. We need to remember that the verse says to rejoice always, which literally means at all times be rejoicing. At all times. Christians will have that understanding that God is sovereign and he knows what is best for his creation. He knows what is best. So we're going through these trials, through these hard times, these difficulties, we get to have joy. Because God created us. God is still with us. So he knows what's best for us. We may think we do at times. We'll try to fight it and go things our own way. We have the joy because we serve a God who gave it to us. We are confident in God's sovereign love and his and on his love and power and on his own behalf, he makes all things work according to his plan. There should be no circumstance in a believer's life other than sin that could make one lose their joy. When we are in sin, do we have the joy that comes from God? We have a different kind of joy that's not from God. Because sin sometimes is fun. Sin can be fun. That's a human response. But when we have joy in the Lord, it is so different because we have that eternal hope, knowing that God is working, knowing that God is still making his plan come along. Philippians 4:4 states, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice always." Again, a command from God to rejoice. To rejoice. We as believers have access to this joy. It is something that is given to us through Christ and his work as our personal Savior. Horrible events happen in our lives. They happen. God allows those things to happen, though. He allows those. Nothing is outside of his vision. Even when we look at the book of Job, I love that book. Job lost everything. His animals, his wealth, his kids, all got taken from him. Because God said it was okay for that to happen. He was also covered with sores and boils. It was not outside of God. God allowed that to happen. God allowed Job to go through this. And of course, Job did go through this. And he got some advice from some friends. Of course, the advice they gave him was, true advice, but it doesn't fit the situation. Until God came down and kind of straightened Job out and said, hey, I'm God, you're not. Here's what I make happen. We should be rejoicing that God is in control and he knows how much we can handle. God is sovereign and he knows all things. That is what we are to focus on. You know, it is good to grieve on occasion. It's good to grieve on occasion and to be downhearted. But the thing is, when we do that, we can't let that take over our lives. We can't put our focus only on the hardship. We've got to look past it. Now, in the following verse, the next one, Paul tells the people to pray without ceasing. See, a joyful believer will pray. They will pray. Those Christians that find their joy in God will pray to God because they know apart from Christ, they're nothing. Prayer is second nature to them because they rely on God for things. Like, I know where I stand before a holy God. That's why I go to him. And this word prayer in this text in the Greek is the most common used in the New Testament. It covers all aspects of the word prayer. It applies to intercession, confession, petition, submission, praise, and thanksgiving. So when you're praying, in this context, you're covering all of those. Confessing your sins, confessing to God what you have done. That's got to be one of the hardest things to do, is to confess to God what you have done. Because you realize who you are before God. You are sinful, you do sinful things, and then you need to confess that to God to rebuild that relationship. Now, how easy is it to do once you've messed up and you're like, oh, I've sinned, but I can't say that to God. I can't say what I've thought. I can't say what I've said. I can't say what I've done to God. Why? Because it is unholy. The thing is, God's seen it. God knows what you did. He knows what you said. It's that confessing part that builds that relationship with him. Of course, submission. God, you are in control. I want to do your will. I want to do things your way, not my own way. Praise. How do we praise God? God, you are awesome. God, you are great. You are wonderful. I praise you. Thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for all that you have done. You have forgiven me. You have supplied me with my needs. All those aspects of prayer. Guess what? You're to do this continuously. Pray continuously or without ceasing. This does not mean you have to be on your knees, on a certain rug, looking a certain way, with a certain way on your face, head bowed, hands folded at the right angle. And I was kind of brought up like that. Now, you have to do this to pray. You have to sit like this to pray. You have to close your eyes. Now, these are all good things to do because you're focusing your attention on God. But how many of us pray while driving on slippery roads? And don't close your eyes. Please don't close your eyes. God will hear you with your eyes open. He will hear you while your hands are on the steering wheel, white-knuckling it, going, oh, help me. This is going to be fun. Hope my insurance is paid up. Continuously, at every opportunity we get, talk to God. We're relying on God. What does it mean to pray? What does it literally mean to pray in a nutshell? It means, like I said, talk to God. Talk to God. Let him know what's on your mind. Let him know what your needs are. Talk to him. I remember when I was back in Forsyth, I had a youth praise team. We played for the church two or three times. I can't remember. But before we would play, though, I'd gather the students up and say, hey, let us pray. And one young lady prayed. I loved it. It was the simplicity of her prayer. She said, hi, God. Guide us as we play. Help us hit the right notes. Help us to bring glory to you. She talked to God like a friend. Should we talk to God like a friend? He wants that relationship with us. He wants us to be ourselves in front of him, not somebody we're not supposed to be. We hear these elaborate prayers that are so beautiful. And I'm like, wow, I wish I could pray like that. You pray how God made you. You talk to him in your language. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. If that's the way he designed you. Oh, then I love this. And I love this. I used to say this too. Well, why do we have to pray to God? He knows everything. Why do we send requests up to God? He knows what we're going to say. He knows what we're going to do before we do it. He knows the outcome. He's outside of time. Wrap your head around all that. Guess what? Yes, that's true. But also, if we don't pray it, we don't say it, and he knows you're not going to pray it. It's what we do to relate to God. It's our verbal confession of what's going on in our world. It's us acknowledging, hey, we need you. We need you, God, in our lives. We need you to do this. We need you to meet this need. We can also talk about the structure of prayer, but that's a different sermon. We're talking to God. Not only are we talking to God, sometimes we can just talk. What about listening? Ever listen to God when we're praying? Praying is not just talking. It's waiting for a response. Waiting for a response from God. And the responses are different. Sometimes he'll speak to me after, if I can be quiet for a minute. He'll speak to me. And it's not in an audible voice. I'm not hearing voices. He speaks to a way below my conscious level. I can't explain it. I don't know how it works. But he speaks to me. I don't hear his voice. And then sometimes he doesn't speak to me. He says, you're going to sit there in silence for a while. Later on, he'll show something to me. He'll reveal it. But it's giving him the opportunity to speak back to you. It's a conversation. So when you're praying, talk to God, send your request to him. Wait for a response. When you talk to him, thank him. Ask him for things. Listen. Prayer helps our relationship with God. It helps our relationship with God. What happens? You're really good friends with somebody and you don't talk to them. What are they thinking? They don't like me anymore. That relationship is getting separate. Now, I know sometimes I can ride a great distance with another guy. And we could be silent the whole way there and not have a worry in our minds. Because sometimes guys don't talk a lot. They get along better when they don't talk. Now, women, on the other hand, they like to talk. They do. Most of them. It's that building the relationship. See, guys can have short conversations and sometimes really long ones. And they get off track and they forget what they even called each other about. But it's building that relationship, that communication relationship. We need to have that communication with God as well. The last verb I'm going to mention is give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks. Give thanks. That give thanks is one word in the Greek, two in the English. Paul tells the people in Thessalonica to give thanks in everything. The believer is thankful. The believer is thankful. While the unbeliever is ungrateful. Romans 1:21 states, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But because they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. They knew God. They did not honor him as God. They did not give thanks to him. Ungrateful. Christians can give thanks in all things because of the relationship they have with God. We know that He is in control and His ways are the best. His ways are the best. This is the will of God for all people. These three verbs are the will of God. But not in its totality, though. Not in its completeness. It's a part of His will. That is to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. That is God's will. God's will for us is joy, prayer, and thanksgiving for all those who are in Christ Jesus. These are things that God wants us to do. He wants us to do these things. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. How many of you think that praying is the easiest part of these? Oh yeah, praying's easier. Praying's easier. It's the other two that cause us to think sometimes. Of course, prayer can be tough too. Prayer can be tough. You don't know what to pray for sometimes. But what about the horrible events that just happened I talked about earlier in Texas? How do we rejoice and give thanks for that situation? We need to understand that God allows these things to happen. He allows horrible things to happen, to come along. He tests us, and He allows us to go through these to build us. Now, right now, we don't understand why He allowed that to happen. God will be glorified somehow through this event. What can we do about it? How can we thank God? How can we rejoice? A few things that came to my mind, and I also watched another pastor's response on this. He was saying that these people were in church. They were there worshiping. He believes they were Christians that lost their lives. Of course, the little children as well. They allowed a gunman to walk up and down the aisles before anything happened. But 26 people lost their lives. I pray that those people, I hope that those people are in heaven with God right now. I hope that the church was a Bible-believing church, and I heard that it was, which gives the Christian some comfort, some peace. They don't have to worry about it anymore. But those that are left behind also, we keep praying for them, that God will give them comfort and a way to deal with these situations. One day God will be glorified through that. The 9/11 attacks, I remember those. More horrible events. What happened the next day? That Sunday. Churches were full. People were turning to God after that. Of course, part of that didn't last very long. God spoke through people. He used events like this to draw people closer to Him. Now, we don't understand God's will and His way all the time. We're just called to be obedient. We're called to do these things, to rejoice, pray, give thanks. Sometimes God uses things to draw our attention back to Him because He cares for us. Again, I also believe those people who are in Texas are with the Lord today. I hope that they are. That gives us hope. That gives us comfort. We're to be thankful for all that Christ has done for us. And we are approaching the Thanksgiving season, which is a time to be thankful for the things that God has done for us, for the things He's going to do for us. He allows us to come here. Gather together to worship Him. We're to be thankful for that. And as we enter communion, we need to remember what Christ has done for us. He died for us. He endured the pain so we don't have to. He came, was beaten, shed blood for us, and hung on a cross to die. Just so we can live. We're to remember that. We're to be thankful for that. Because apart from him not doing that, we'd have no hope. I leave you with Ephesians 5, verse 4. It says, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving." Thank you.